You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner, Dave Tindall and Mike Grenham here to look ahead to a couple of events this week, with the Mauritius Open on the sort of on the European Tour and the Players Championship, the main event this week. Wonderful field for the Players Championship, the unofficial fifth major. First of all, it's a warm welcome. A welcome back to Mr. Mike Grenham.
Thank you, David. Just 1 week off there.
Yep.
Had a little relax. Yeah.
Rejuvenated.
Yeah, yeah.
It was for one of the big events of the season.
Doing a bit of coaching to Ian Woosnam, and he's bounced back with a win on the Champions Tour. Can you believe Ian Woosnam's got a win again?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Is it 57, is he?
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, I wouldn't have backed
him with your money.
Part-time golfer.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I couldn't believe it. I nearly fell off my chair when I saw he'd won. So,
it's nice to have
I've really been coaching.
The 3 degrees back together,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Always feels there.
We're lonely without you, Mike. We're lonely.
That's all right. Well, here I am.
Rory McIlroy, first of all, winner of the match play at Harding Park last week. What did you make to the golf course, Harding Park? It was I thought it was a good test for match play.
Yeah, they seem to all like it. It's got good reviews from the players. I saw one quote from Rory that he said he much preferred it to Olympic Club, which had held the US Open.
Okay.
Just thought it was a better, fairer test. Mm. I guess it's always a good sign when you get the world number one winning your tournament, isn't it? That it's a good course and not some sort of tricked up weird course. So, yeah, it was good. Mm.
It was. And unfortunately, you see the deterioration of the quality of the golf as the week progresses, because it's grueling, isn't it, really, the schedule, 7 rounds in 5 days.
Yeah. There was a moment in the final when they were just trading bogeys, weren't they, McIlroy and Woodland, and you thought, oh dear, but I don't know really what they can do. I thought it was a fair crack at mixing it up a bit.
The only thing I didn't like was the head-to-head thing with if you got 2 wins. And there's a lot of games that were dead, weren't there, in the Friday?
Yeah, so it needs another tweak, but I don't quite know what it is.
Because I'd backed Lowry, and he looked like he was going to beat Fowler, and Fowler got a number of massive putts. And I was thinking, oh, that's a bit of a shame. He's going to struggle to get through now. He was out. He'd won his first game, and he was out on the Thursday, having looked like he was more or less
strange,
a banker to go through.
Yeah.
I just think that needs looking at a little bit, you know, because it just made for a lot of dead rubbers, didn't it, on the final day. It could have been a hell of a lot of dead rubbers, couldn't it? You only need one player to not win a game, and it's...
Yeah, basically just about everyone who did go through won all the matches anyway, so it was almost...
Mm. Only Furyk didn't, I think, is that right?
Mm. Congratulations, by the way, to Miguel Freya for winning the hashtag golf podcast bracket, the Dell bracket. He was the winner. So congratulations to him. And I know a couple of people out in the William Hill office did well. Brad Lomas and Matthew Kirby. So we got 71 entrants, which I think is a fair total.
That's good,
for that.
That's good.
So congratulations.
It's more than
to
we
you,
get listeners.
Miguel, precisely. I don't know where they all came from.
What did he have? The winner?
He had the winner and a couple of outsiders that made substantial progress throughout
Danny
the week.
Willett, maybe.
Yeah, I think one of the top two had Gary Woodland.
Yeah, fair call.
Going through a few rounds anyway.
Well, I read a stat though that Gary Woodland, if it had been stroke play, would have been 20th.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mm. Whereas Jordan Spieth came out with a comment in round two where he said someone had told him if it was stroke play, he'd be 7 shots clear.
Yeah.
So it's like it's a who
the vagaries of match play golf, isn't it?
Get the wrong player on the wrong day.
Let's get stuck into this week then. 2 events. We'll start off with the Mauritius Open. George Kutsaya is the 8-1 favourite. Kiradek Apibanrat is 12-1. Thomas Bjorn 16s. Thomas Akin is 20s. Kevin Phelan 25s. Paul Peterson 25-1. Scott Hend is 25-1. 28-1 and bigger the rest. And this tournament's making a little bit of history this week because it's the first official tri-sanctioned event.
Yeah, I can see the excitement in Mike's face at that.
The European Tour teaming up with the Asian and the Sunshine Tours this week. Tell us a little bit. I know you've done a piece, Dave, for Roto World Golf. Tell us a little bit about the golf course.
Yeah, it's a pretty short golf course. It's 7,000 and a bit yards, which is always not much these days. I wasn't completely sure where Mauritius was. I just had this idea it's where sort of honeymooning couples go. Yeah. But so if you basically find Africa on your map and look to the east, you'll get there. I think you get Madagascar and then Mauritius. So it's a little dot in the Indian Ocean.
You can't swim there, though, from Africa, can you? Just to
I wouldn't encourage it, no. But I guess for the South Africans, it's not far.
Yeah.
Where, I think before that I was thinking, where is it then? Is it somewhere near Fiji or something? Mm. I don't know. So it's not far for them.
He's teeing up a South African pick here, isn't he?
Definitely. No,
well, then I was looking for one. I couldn't really find one, to be honest. I found a little bit of... There was another event called... I think it was the Mauritius Masters or something, on a different course, which a few of the French guys are, I think, like French and English are the languages spoke there.
Yeah,
another possible way in for players feeling comfortable. Yeah, there was this event, and that was won by Max Orrin, the Englishman, and Henny Otto was second, and they're both brand ambassadors to AfroAsia.
Okay,
apparently. So I don't know whether because they come first and second, thought, oh, these guys are good, we'll make them brand ambassadors, or or whether it's somehow that gave them an edge and they played the course before and then, you know, a little bit like that. But you've not
picked either of them?
I've not picked either of them, but I have picked a guy who was fifth in that tournament because he has been to Mauritius before. Who knows, that might count for something. Matt Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
I just thought that little thing that he's been there before, I don't know if he took time to play the course or
he's certainly not old enough to have gone on his honeymoon there, is he?
No.
He must have been playing golf.
Must have been, yeah. And the other thing with him is that...
82-1 looks a big price, but he hasn't been playing that well, is
well,
that right?
Well, I think the course suits him. I think he's struggled a bit, hasn't he? He has a lot of missed cuts, but he has played well in a few events where...
Got a lot of ability.
Where you need to be sort of short... Well, not you need to be short, but you need to be sort of neat and tidy.
Yes.
Mm. And I think that's the case this week. Mm. And there was one quote from... was it Dean Burmester, the South African guy who's done really well in recent weeks, who said, of the players I've spoken to, it's quite a tight track. Mm. So I thought Matt Fitzpatrick, at his best, he'd be, you know, a couple of good weeks from him and he'd be knocking around 28s, wouldn't he, or something?
Yes.
So it just, you can't really be backing anyone short price, can you? So he would just be one, a little, if you want a little play on that one, he might be the one.
He's just the one pick from the Golf Podcast team this week in this event. Matthew Fitzpatrick at 80-1. Again, I had a couple of players, did look at the tournament, had a couple of players in mind, but I didn't want to punt anyone at a short price here.
Your nose seems to be growing longer. Yeah.
Kevin Phelan.
I'm saying nothing.
Yeah. Kevin Phelan, 25-1.
Yeah.
A player that's impressed us this season. And again, if it's windy, I think he'll play well. Tied second in Joburg, tied third in the Trophy Hassan, but I didn't want to take 25-1.
Yeah, a bit short, wasn't it? Yeah.
And Prom Misawat was the other one, but again, didn't want to take 33-1 on him, really.
Yeah. If Henny Otto had, apparently Henny Otto's been a bit injured, but if he had been fit, he's one of the better players in the field, and he's brand ambassador, and he's probably, I think he's held a clinic at the course. I'd be all over
Henny Otto,
but
yeah,
he's
I like
33-1 though.
A bit short.
I don't know how bad his injury is. So he's not teed up since February, so it can't have been something too trivial.
Same with Torbjørn Olesen, who's had the hand injury. Yeah. I mean, he's different class to this field.
Yeah.
But he's 33-1, and no one knows how sharp his game is going to be.
I've seen some pictures on his Twitter of kind of his hand. He had hand surgery, tendon trouble in his hand. And you think he's only just got... I think the last tweet I saw him say was only just started hitting balls again. That was last week. So,
right.
And that was one-handed.
Okay.
So I won't dive in.
No,
if he was playing well after two rounds, you might think
interest.
About it. But yeah.
Let's get stuck into the main event
big
this
stuff.
Week then. The Players' Championship, and Rory McIlroy is the 7-1 favourite for the event. Jordan Spieth is 8-1. Henrik Stenson, 20s. Jim Furyk is 22s. Justin Rose, 22-1 here with William Hill. Jason Day is 25s. Dustin Johnson and Hideki Matsuyama and Sergio Garcia, all 33-1. Jimmy Walker is 35s and it's 40-1 and bigger the remainder. This is undoubtedly one of the best events of the year. That's not only because of the continuity of TPC Sawgrass as the host venue, 42nd straight time it's hosted the Players, but also the strength of the field as well. All the the most talented players in the world of golf in attendance this week. And as well as that, Mike, Sawgrass demands ball striking of the highest quality. So the cream usually rises to the top.
Correct. Yeah, yes. There have been some big prize winners here, though, over the years, haven't they, to be fair? And even last year, Kaimer was a slight surprise. I don't think he was that expected, was he? Was he about 100-1?
He was.
I might be imagining that. Yeah. But yes, it is a ball striker's course. You're right, Dave. That's certainly the criteria that I apply to it. I really like this event. It's a great course, and looking forward to the battle between some informed players at the top of the market. Not that I picked any of them particularly. Well, that's not true. But... yeah, it's going to be a good week.
The last three winners, incidentally, all ranked inside the top three in greens in regulation for the week of their win, which is very important. Historically, leaderboards littered with players that have done well in that category this week. Experience is often a deciding factor as well, I think.
Definitely. You've got to have played here. And usually, you've got to have played here five or six times, haven't you, before you win. I think the average is something like that, isn't it? So I picked two of my picks of players who played here quite a lot. One not so much. I'm taking a bit of a risk with one, but I would definitely say that experience, unless you call Jordan Spieth, is pretty important.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to play.
He's fourth last year
on
his debut, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Joint 54-hole leader with Kaimer.
Yes. He's a bit different, isn't he?
Mike, lead us off this week, though.
Right, I hesitated there a few seconds ago and I said I haven't picked a market leader, and then I looked and the guy that I have picked is third in the market, so I can't really claim that I haven't picked a market leader. This is my strongest fancy of the golf season so far. I haven't really fancied anyone quite as strongly as Henrik Stenson in this event at 20-1. He was 22-1 until about an hour ago, but that rascal Mark Hansard has clipped a couple of points off. But I'm not gonna cry over that. 22-1 to 20-1 is not a massive change. I just think that Stenson is absolutely cracking value at that price. Okay, he's got Rory and Jordan to beat, and they're both, you know, admirable contenders for this event. But he's just he has won here in 2009. He was third here in 2006, fifth the year before last, 15th the year before that, other top tens in 2008, and he just ticks all those boxes about the type of player that wins here so well. I think he really likes this course. He's third for greens in regulation this year, second for ball striking, and rather remarkably, he's top of the list for strokes gained putting, which I can't quite work out, but it was a nice bonus when I saw it.
Top of both, isn't it? How does anyone ever do that?
Yeah, amazing. And he's in cracking form. From the Cadillac, he was fourth in the Cadillac, and then same place in the Valspar, second at Bay Hill, top 20 in the Masters when, if you remember, he was very ill before the tournament.
Yep.
Yeah, he looked like he might even pull out. Forget last week's match play where he played okay but went out. I just think that this is a guy who I would expect to see in the money this week. And at 20-1, he's 2.5 points each way for me.
Wow. Henrik Stenson, 20-1, Mike's headline pick here. Mr. Tindall?
Well, I'll tell you a bit of the theory behind how I got to mine, just so it, you know, it doesn't always mean you have to follow people, does it? But sometimes you like to follow the theory somehow, and then you come to your own players. I had it in mind that it was kind of, you had to be a course specialist to some extent.
Okay.
And I also had in mind you had to be in form. So it's a bit of a perfect storm, really, to have both. And it was a bit of a theory, but I looked at it like Kaimer. I wasn't that aware that he had much Sawgrass form. But in two of the previous 3 years, he'd cracked the top 20 at Sawgrass. Tiger Woods had won it before. Kuchar had been in the top 15 twice in the previous 3 years. Tim Clark had been ninth the year before. Stenson, as Mike said, 10th the year before. Garcia was second the year before. And so on. Mickelson, 14th the year before. Stephen Ames, two top 20s in the previous 3 years. And on it goes. Yep. So it's basically, if you summarize that, 8 of the last 10 winners had had at least a top 15 in the previous 2 years. We don't always get that, do you, on courses? It's quite... And if you look at the big players' records, there's a lot of like rubbish in there, and there's a lot of, it's got miscuts. Whereas at Augusta, it's just a string of good finishes, isn't it? Yes. Whereas here, it seems to be, if you're not on it,
you miss,
you're gone.
Yeah, definitely.
And whereas... So that's the course form angle. The current form angle, all the last 10 winners had made the cut in their previous start, and 7 of them had come in the top 25. It's slightly muddied by there being a match play event in the way.
Yes.
But in theory, you can tell who's playing well. So if you were part of both those categories, it knocked the field down for me to 12 players.
Okay.
No, it just so happens six of them were the first six in the betting. So it's I think it's competitive. I think you could argue any of those top guys in the betting. McIlroy, Spieth, Stenson, Furyk. Anyway, top five in the betting anyway. I'm very keen on Stenson as well. Because Mike's gone for him, I'm almost tempted to... No, that sounds wrong, doesn't it? Yeah, to think, well, he can't win it. No, to think...
He's only sat on the other side of the studio.
That, is it? I'm only trying my best.
So just to sort of throw in another name then, I think Spieth's going to be hard to beat here. I just think the course is perfect for him. He said as much last time. He admits he absolutely loves putting on Bermuda grass. He says he finds it easy to chip round the greens. I mean, it's absolutely the same scenario as at the Masters, isn't it? He turns up on his debut, nearly wins, you know, goes back the next year and hammers everybody. Is he going to do the same here?
Yeah, Jason could look big, couldn't
especially,
it?
Especially, I think already he was 16 under for his three rounds in the match
yeah,
play.
Yeah, he was.
Which is, you know...
Yeah, no.
It wasn't a cooling off. That's a continuation of just some tremendous play, isn't it?
Both McIlroy and Spieth could look big prizes if they run away with this.
I'd be with
obvious.
Spieth out over the two.
I'll let Mike sort of...
Have Stenson.
Have our collective sort of
Fair
idea
dudes.
Of Stenson. I'll put up Spieth, I think.
Fair dues.
As for Rory, one element I think amongst Rory and Furyk, Rose has just been cut.
I'm just looking at these prices moves.
Yeah, McIlroy, he was asked on Sunday, he said, do you think fatigue's going to be a factor because you've gone seven rounds? And he pointed out, he said, I got to the final, whenever it was a few years ago, and won the Honda the week after. That's quite reassuring, I think, if you're a Rory backer.
Yeah.
And I think I've got to remember that I'm not in my 20s because we sometimes apportion, don't we? Sometimes
I can
think,
remind you if you want occasionally.
Yeah, you can, but I'll come back harder. So I think Spieth and McIlroy, forget it if they've had a few tournaments in a row, and they're young kids who are brilliant at golf. It's just, I can't. I think I was guilty as much as anyone is going on about that. I think it put me off Spieth at the Masters, but just forget it. Spieth just to it enjoy their good form.
Okay, Jordan Spieth then, Dave's selection 8-1. I'm going with Billy Horschel as my number one pick here.
I picked him as well.
Yeah, 66-1.
I pick him every week.
Yeah, that's why I'm jumping on the bandwagon.
He was caught at 215 an hour ago.
It was annoying. I was going to have a really good bet at 80-1. It's just tempered my enthusiasm slightly. I'll just play a point each way at 66, Billy
Horschel.
This
is interesting because I'm not keen on him at all on any level. Why
are you not?
Apart from that kind of idea that yes, he's a good ball striker. Where's his form?
He's got.
I think he's close.
Yeah, I think he's very close. Yeah, he finished third in Texas, and you've got to remember he's a Floridian native as well, isn't he? Went to the University of Florida, and lives resident at Ponte Vedra now, and has played this golf course 25 times a year since he turned pro, and that was back in 2000, so he's very experienced around the golf course.
What's his course form?
His course form...
I'm slightly playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, he's only played here twice. He missed the cut on debut and then finished 26th last year. But he has talked about his love for the venue before. I think he is coming to the boil now. He struggled to play his best stuff early on in the season because of what happened at the FedEx at the end of last season. I just think that a lot of players have the... We've seen it historically, that they take a while to hit... top gear after the FedEx.
I think it's kind of years. I mean, Furyk didn't win. All the FedEx winners seem to have been hopeless, haven't they?
I think he should be a lot shorter than... I love the 80-1. I think he should be a lot shorter than 66s as well. Played well at the match play last week.
Won his first two matches and then ran into McIlroy.
Yeah.
With two to play. And that would have been 3-0 in that. I think Dave's nailed it. He's coming to the ball beautifully after the distractions of the FedEx win.
He's talked about it as well in post-round press conferences. When he lost to Rory, he said, my game is right there. I'm chipping and putting brilliantly at the moment. My long game's very, very close. Finished that third at Texas. If his short game starts showing signs of life, I think he's going to be a real factor, because even though he's been slightly disappointing this season, still ranks 9th in the ball striking statistics and 15th in greens in regulation. To say it's not all been coming together for him, I think he's going to have a top week this week at a golf course that he knows very well. It's a home game for Billy Horschel, and I think he'll go closer. Yeah. I'll play him a point each way at 66.
Well, I understand Dave T's reservations. I just think sometimes you've got to look a little bit beneath the surface, and he just is starting to play really well, I think. I actually backed him last week in the match play, and I was cursing when McIlroy came back to knock him out, because he had a bit of an open run after that, Horschel. So.
Well, if you think he gets through, I don't know, ifs and buts, but if he gets through against McIlroy, makes a run to the quarters or the semis.
40s here, wouldn't he?
You're not talking 80 to 1, are you? I know he's 66 now, but you're talking 33, 40 to 1 for a player of Horschel's undoubted ability.
He undoubtedly doesn't have the amount of course experience that normally in the tournament that you would like. We have to acknowledge that. But he does live there and he has played there a lot. And he's finished with a 67 last year, which is interesting. His final round was his best round there. So, I picked him as well.
That's what it's all about. I've sat here rolling him out. I've listened and I'm thinking, right. I'm swayed.
Well, 66 isn't as good as 80s, but it's still a big price for.
It's fair.
You look at what he did at the end of last season. He is one of the best ball strikers on tour, and if he can play anything like he did in the FedEx, he'll be right there.
Who are you going for then as your second pick, Dave?
Well, I'm certainly someone that at the exact same price, but don't you think I'll be having a lunch spell with you? Absolutely not. Can we just remind the listeners how many?
We're up to four now.
It's getting a bit of a laugh now. They know they're playing for a lunch bet, don't they? Because
the idea is that you buy them, you know, Dave. Do not just keep a running
just accumulating them.
It's a theoretical. McDowell was 3 up on Harris English.
He was, wasn't he?
Then they had a little chat about the night, saying, the old lunch bet tease, right? You can win it again for Kellner.
Yep.
And there you go.
That was nice.
Disgrace.
Who have you picked at 66s then, Div? I think we might be on the same player.
Kevin Na.
Oh, no. No, we're not.
Okay.
A few years ago, Kevin Na was the 54-hole leader in this event. God knows how, in some ways, because it was that stage where he couldn't actually get the club back. You know, and the crowd were just heckling him.
Yeah, when he was playing that
slowly. Pull a trigger! And all that. You suck! And all this sort of thing. And now just... Well, I think a lesser character might have just collapsed. But I know he did fall away a bit, but he'd taken that kind of abuse for sort of 3 days and led the field. Mm. So he eventually came seventh that year. He came third a few years earlier. Mitzi loves the course, says he plays really well there. He's just got a bag of good form, hasn't he? I think he's had 3 top 10s or 3 top 12s in Florida this year. Yeah. He seems to be just knocking around that 9th. Had his best ever Masters, tied 12th. He's just got a lot of that mix that I was looking for of current and course form.
Yeah, he's in good form.
So he doesn't, obviously he doesn't win that often.
We don't have a go at his picks like he does at ours, do we?
Well, I was just thinking Kevin Na over Billy Horschel.
I'd like to
be on there.
He won't have it, but you know, can we entice him in, do you think?
I'm not going to have it. Now he'll win, won't he?
He will.
Yeah. He'll be
carrying
Billy
that
Horschel
burden
now,
around
unfortunately.
His neck. I kind of feared he might be 50s, given that he had both elements. Obviously, it's a good feel, but 66 to 1 is... It's okay, I think, for Kevin Na. Mm,
okay.
I think it's just one of these courses where you get enough kind of whatever tier, second tier or players who you think, you know, aren't world beaters who can pop up and do well. Mm. I thought it was a fair bet.
I just always think when you're talking, I know we talk about course form and historic form at venues quite a lot and relate that to the betting. I just always sometimes... Look at the players, the respective players, and think Billy Horschel or Kevin Na. I just don't think they're in the same league, really. I just see Billy Horschel as a far superior player in pretty much.
You're talking. You should be rope-a-doping me into a lunch bet. You're talking me out of it by the second.
He is, isn't he?
So you're saying he's far too good. Don't have a lunch bet. All right, all right then.
I feel like ship's already sailed. I think I would have to. It'd be dark arts to try and get you involved in a lunch bet here.
Yeah, he'd have to double up, wouldn't he? Yeah.
Who are you going for then, Mike, as your third and final pick?
You haven't given me your second pick, have you?
Sorry, I've not given my second pick. I do apologise. 200-1 shot my second pick.
And Dave, you fancy this player as well, don't you? Is it the same player?
We don't know.
It might be the same player.
Well, look, I have to be honest and say I've seen it on Dave's sheet, so let's see if it's the same player. I would have picked this player because I guessed who it was. I heard you had 200-1. I reckon you've both gone for Hearn.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. David Hearn, yeah.
Let's have a lunch bet on it.
we'll split that.
Honestly, I had when you both said you're on a 200-1 shot, I looked through him and I thought, I bet it's him. And then I did see it on Dave's paper as well, which made me pretty sure it was him.
Mm-hmm. His course form catches the eye, doesn't it?
I think that's the
key with him.
I understand it. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
He's played here three times, finishing 68th in 2012, 26th 2013, 6th last year, and comes into the event with a little bit of form as well, having opened with a 65 at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans a couple of weeks ago, finished in the tie for sixth there. Ranked first in greens in regulation that week as well, which is interesting. Obviously, this is a completely different test compared to that one in New Orleans, but he's 48th in the season in the greens in regulation stat, which is quite respectable. Decent putter as well. Not the longest off the tee, so this course doesn't restrict him, given the length off the tee. Not really an advantage, and I thought it was worth a few quid at 200-1.
Yeah, not much to add to that, really. I read a quote in New Orleans where he just said, you know, he's been close, this has been coming, so it's one of those ones, maybe like Horschel, where he feels
right.
He's not suddenly gone, oh, I don't know where that came from. He knew it was going to happen.
Yeah,
you could see him going off short than 200s, couldn't you? I think he'll be
definitely.
I could see that. That does look a little bit.
Yeah,
generous.
And there's enough. You look at the leaderboards down the years, there's enough of his sort to.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Well, we said the cream. I said the cream generally rises to the top earlier, but we have had Stephen Ames, Craig Perks, and KJ Choi, so on.
KJ Choi beat David Toms. You remember?
Yeah, I do remember that. That was heartbreaking, wasn't it? Toms missed that three-footer, didn't he, on 17?
He did,
I think
he did. Can't remember. It was a big price. Can't quite remember what it was. 80s, 100s, or something. But yeah. Well, shall I give my third pick?
Yes, please do.
He's actually my second pick because I pushed Horsell back to third when the 80s went to 66. I got annoyed of putting down the rankings. Hunter Mahan is my second pick. I just think he's another player who's hopefully coming to the boil at the right time. Another consummate ball striker, top 20 or thereabouts in ball striking on tour this year, and he's putting pretty well as it happens in 2015. So. Top 10 at the Masters, and then he played decently in the match play this weekend, 25th in Houston before that. Got some decent finishes in at Sawgrass, three top 20s in the last 5 years, sandwiched around a couple of missed cuts, so it could be contention or finish by Friday evening with Mahan. Hopefully it'll be the contention, because this course does seem to suit him ever so well. I'm pleased to say that he's available at 66-1, which I think for a player of his ability on a course that he likes, coming to form just at the right time. That top 10 at the Masters was interesting, I thought, because he started with a 75. So he's about 11 under for the last three rounds, which was eye-catching, I thought.
I don't know whether I just saw him at the right time, but the bits I did see of him last week, I thought he was going to go and win that tournament last week. I thought he started hammering everybody from the off. Yeah. I thought,
He was into 7-1, wasn't he, after the group matches, because that side of the draw really opened up for Hunter Mahan.
Yeah, yeah. I honestly thought, wow, I've sort of missed him that week, because he's good at match play, obviously. He'd won that event before, and he was playing in California, but... Yeah, that's good logic. Yeah.
Big each way price, I think, at 66s, so he's my third and final pick.
We are betting each way quarter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 here with William Hill as well, so some good prices available for the Players' Championship. That about wraps us up in terms of the selections.
Other names to mention?
Yeah, I've got a couple. Hideki Matsuyama was definitely
I thought you might have picked him.
He was on my mind, 33-1. Just got cut in from 40s to 33s, which was enough to put me off. He won three straight matches at Harding Park last weekend. Before eventually losing out to McIlroy. McIlroy, he annihilated him, in all honesty, in that second round. But he's got five top five finishes already this season. He's accrued more money than anyone else without winning, so he's definitely due. Ranks 4th in strokes gained tee to green, 11th in greens in regulation, 3rd in ball striking, and 23rd on his debut here last season as well.
Why didn't you pick him then?
He peaked at this point last season. The price, really, was why I didn't pick him, because he was ragged off the tee last week, even though he progressed through those matches, made a lot of bogeys on the front nine. Ragged off the tee, which maybe his game wasn't quite there. And he talked afterwards about not driving the ball well at the moment. I know you don't need to drive the ball brilliantly here, but you need to know where to miss as well.
Yeah, you do. You've got to get
it. He's not got that experience. Those two points put me off slightly.
I thought you were going to pick Russell Knox.
I was thinking about, but he was definitely on my mind. He's 150-1, which is fair, isn't it?
Yeah.
He'd be one of the players I don't want to win this week, definitely Russell Knox, because he's got the sort of game that you'd expect to be suited by this course.
Paul Casey, I thought you might pick him. Was he in your list?
Not really.
No.
Well, that's his case.
45-1. He's in good form, isn't he?
He's in good form. Mm.
And the other guy that was on my list, Daniel Summerhayes, who is a player that I really like, and he likes these short courses as well.
I'll have him in a match bet against Stenson if you want.
No, you're okay there. but his two starts here, he's finished 26th and 23rd in his two starts at this venue. So those guys were on my mind.
Why don't we do a lunch, just to prove there isn't some sort of weird like jinx and hex going on? If I take Spieth against Chris Stroud or something.
Yeah, against one of my guys,
Stroud
big prize.
Beats him, then we know something's...
He's trying, isn't he?
He's trying.
I thought Gary Woodland was a big price at 100-1. I know it's not a bomber's paradise, this, but equally JB Holmes has been in great form and he's 80s. Those two were guys that I thought could go well this week. I've played reasonably well here before.
Yeah.
And none of us have mentioned Rory at any length. It'll be interesting to see how he goes this week.
Definitely a streak.
He's improving
isn't he?
He's improving at this track.
I think he's one that, once he gets on a roll, he can stay hot for a while, can't he? Especially
so
with
you'd
the
have putter. To fear him. I get the Spieth pick, but I probably fear Rory more than Spieth. But it's a great kind of narrative for the game of golf, isn't it, that these two guys are here?
When I started analysing this tournament, I was looking around and just thinking, he's a big price. There were loads of those where I thought, but you can see why, because McIlroy and Spieth are so strong at the head of the betting.
Yeah.
I mean, no, you say. You were arguing about Horschel against Nowell. How do you get Bubba at 50s? If you're going on the logic of just who's a good player, how can Bubba be 50s?
He never plays that well here, though, does he?
Well, I think the course is a big determining factor.
I think the course but suits Horschel, though. Yeah.
I think the course suits Kevin Na around the greens, where he's very strong with his short game. Because the greens are really small, so I think everyone misses them. So I think that's when short game kicks in.
What about Tiger?
Yeah, we've not mentioned Tiger Woods. 1 year, 2 years ago.
Not that long ago, is it? I couldn't quite see him winning yet, but I'd like to. It'd be interesting if he can play anything like he did at Augusta.
I don't think he will play anything like. Well, I think Augusta, he could get away with it. I mean, hardly hit a fairway, did he, on Sunday? I think it was a bit smoke and mirrors, Augusta.
Yeah, possibly.
I think this is more. If there is a weakness, it's going to find you out.
Were there any other players on your mind then, Dave?
Well, some of the ones that tick that idea of playing, you know, good form, course form, Westwood and Garcia both fell into that category, but I just didn't really fancy either of them, to be honest. At the prices, what?
Westwood's 33 and 50.
Definitely not Garcia. He doesn't seem to believe he can win an event of magnitude nowadays, does he?
A player that I thought you might have gone for, who you've picked quite a few times this season, who did show form last week, Ricky Fowler, 60-1.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd back him all day in majors, but
not fifth majors.
Yeah, he's very, you know, very strict on what is a major and what isn't. Yeah, possibly. I mean, like you said, there are some funny prices floating around, aren't there? I mean, so Bubba 50s, Ricky Fowler 60s.
Fowler is a bit of an enigma here because he's missed four of his last five cuts, and then the other year he finished second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably
it's kind of,
62.
Yeah, I think if he's on, it could be, but could be a factor.
That's a really strange.
You're just waiting, aren't you, with Ricky Fowler for him to realise the hype more than anything and whether or not it is hype or whether it's genuine.
Yeah.
Top quality ability.
So I think Mickelson at 40s isn't stupid either. I think when he's hitting it well, he can be a factor on this course. I mean, he's got a win and a third. I think traditionally people just associate him with being rubbish at it on this course.
Let's recap then. Let's go through our selections then, because we've got 8 picks in total for this event, but a couple of them do match.
We're getting the winner, can't we?
A couple of them do match, which is good. Mike, recap your selections for Sawgrass.
Well, Henrik Stenson is my strongest fancy so far in 2015. So I'm going to go 2.5 points each way at 20s. Hunter Mahan, a point each way at 66, and the same price, Billy the Horse Horschel.
He loves that nickname.
I do, yeah.
He loves that.
I'm
nickname.
The only one who calls it. Yeah,
yeah. I'm with Billy the Horse Horschel as well. 1.5 point. One
I'm
point
with
each
Kevin
way.
Kevin the
66. Yeah, you're with
Kevin
Nana.
Nana.
And I'll go a point each way. David Hearn as well at 200 to 1.
Yeah, Spieth. Well, he's only 8 to 1, so I'll go 3 points win. Jordan Spieth. Mike's carrying my Stenson money for me.
Yeah.
I'll have a point each way, Kevin Nanana. And then, what did you go on Hearn?
I'm having a point each way on Hearn, 200 to 1.
I think I'll go half a point each way on Hearn.
So, two joint selections then. So, it's down to 6 players, isn't
down
it?
Down to six,
just
players.
Six players.
You can just back the 6 players. You are getting the six
plus
players.
Plus all the players we mentioned.
Yeah, the 6 places, so we fill them all. Picks. We'll be doing all right.
We'll definitely be able to clip something out for next week's podcast, because if we've not mentioned the winner now, we're in real trouble. Thank you for listening, folks. And, Dave, you have got a bet in Mauritius as well, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Matt Fitzpatrick. Yes. What was he, 80?
80 to 1, yeah.
80 to 1. No, I'll go a point each way.
Okay. Who's the player you don't want to win? Who would goal you most if he came out on top at Sawgrass?
For me, it would probably be JB Holmes.
JB Holmes. Mine would be Hideki Matsuyama, just from Russell Knox.
Probably Furyk, doesn't he live there? He's one of those ones who's had a million practice rounds there. It's just I think going 7 rounds for him might just jade him a little bit.
Yeah, that's fair comment.
But I could see him just muddling into a top 5 quite easily.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, folks. Thank you to Mike and Dave. And make sure you download this podcast via iTunes, or you can get us on audioboom.com as well by typing in William Hill, the Mauritius Open, and the Players' Championship, this week's 2 events. Check out all the betting at sports.williamhill.com. And myself, Dave, and Mike will be back again next week. Thank you for listening.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.